Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's snow day, and what great weather to have snow day. How many of you have already played in the snow? Just raise your hand. Oh, man, all over the place. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? Now, I got to be honest. I mean, I've met Adrian. We've talked for a few times, but I have never seen Adrian on a platform. And I mean, it's aerobics time, isn't it? That's energy. I love that. Okay, let's give Adrian a hand. That's good. Now, we're beginning today a new series entitled Wise Up, Making Better Decisions. I mean, who in the world wouldn't love to be able to make better decisions? We're going to be taking this entire series out of the book of Proverbs, the wise book, the wisdom book of Proverbs, one of my favorite books in all the Bible. And so I'm really pumped. I'm really excited about the opportunity to sort of teach through this book and spend some time with you going through what God has to say to us about improving our decision making to build wisdom in our life. And I'm going to begin today by this illustration, an illustration about a guy named Larry. Now, Larry was wanting to be a pilot for the United States Air Force, and that's a good pursuit, but he didn't have the eyesight in order to make it, and so he failed the test to be able to move forward in that direction. But there was a time later on in his life in Southern California that he decided that he was going to fly his own way. He went down to the Army-Navy surplus store, and he bought 42 weather balloons. So just imagine that for a moment with me. 42 weather balloons. He filled them all up with helium, and he connected them, he tied them to his lawn chair in the backyard. And then he tied a rope to from his lawn chair to his Jeep to hold it in place. And then he got supplies, and he loaded those onto the lawn chair and got some sandwiches and a pellet gun, and he climbed into the lawn chair, and this is a picture of Larry on the lawn chair right there. You see? There he is. That's Larry on the lawn chair. Now, in Larry's mind, he was just going to cut the rope at the moment that he wanted to, and then he would just leisurely sort of float into the air. But after he had been in that chair for just a few minutes, something happened he didn't anticipate. The rope broke. And instead of just sort of soaring into the air, he shot in the air like he'd been fired out of a cannon. There's actually a video of this actually happening, and I want you to see the video. But one of the voices is Larry. The other voice is his girlfriend, and they're on a radio talking together. So listen really carefully to see if you can hear him. And here we go with the video. Could you make it out? And actually, there's not just three layers of weather balloons. There's actually a fourth one that's out of the camera shot. Now, he thought, okay, I'm going to just very easily go up in the sky. But he didn't just go 100 feet or 1,000 feet or 5,000 feet. He went 16,000 feet up into the air. That is the equivalent of 3 miles up in the air. And he didn't stay up there for 2 hours or 10 hours. He stayed up there for 14 hours. And in the process, he accidentally drifted into the approach lane for Los Angeles International Airport. A pilot of Delta Airlines called the radio and said, "I just saw a man in a lawn chair floating by." I mean, can you even imagine this? So after 14 hours, he said, I got to get down. And in his mind, he had decided how I'm going to get down is, that's why the pellet gun. He would shoot different balloons strategically, and they would bring him down. Actually, that is the one part that worked. It worked. He shot strategically different weather balloons, and he started going down, and he actually came all the way to the ground in a soft landing. I mean, you got to hand it to him. That's good engineering, if you want to call it that. But by now, all of Los Angeles knows his name, and as soon as he hits the ground, the LAPD arrest him. And while he is moving into the patrol car, there's also reporters there, and one of the reporters yells out and says, "Larry, why'd you do it?" And he replied like a man replies, "Because a man just can't sit around." Now, how many of you would say, there may be a few things about this story of Larry that wasn't all that wise. Anybody? Yeah. And the reason I bring this up, because it's very possible that a whole lot of us in this room have a little bit of Larry in us. All of us can use some more wisdom. All of us need a wisdom that comes from God. All of us need to make better decisions. And that's what the book of Proverbs really is all about. I know there are people that say to us, hey, I don't want to live my life by some old ancient book 2,000 years old. But actually, the book of Proverbs is 3,000 years old. But as you're reading the book of Proverbs, it's like that guy is in your brain. It's like he is reading your thoughts. Because here's the truth. Our toys have changed, our technology has changed, but the human heart hasn't changed after all these years. We still face the same kinds of heart issues that people faced 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. The human heart hasn't changed. And we still face the kinds of issues and situations in our life that the Bible's wisdom speaks to and really helps us to navigate life. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. Now, what if God would say to you, look, you ask anything you want, and I'm going to give it to you. I mean, kind of like a genie in a lantern or lamp. Anything you ask, what would you ask for? Like $10 billion? Or a higher IQ? Or fame or power or whatever? Actually, God said that to one person that we know about. And it was to Solomon, the guy who writes the book of Proverbs. And Solomon said to God, what I really want is wisdom. And God was so pleased with that, he poured wisdom into this man. And everything else he didn't ask for that was good, he gave him as well. And Solomon discovered something really powerful. He discovered that the key to living life in all of its fullness is wisdom. The key to making the most out of our lives is actually wisdom. And if we can get wisdom, it will change everything about our lives. It was Solomon who said himself in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. If you prize wisdom, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. We want to spend some time going through the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And it seems to me that as we get started, just the first shot through, the first thing that we need to do is learn how to get wiser faster, and that's really the point of what I want to talk to you about today. And if you think about it, how do you get wiser faster? The first place you got to really start is to understand what you're asking for. What is wisdom in the first place, and what difference does it make? Wisdom is not knowledge. We live in the knowledge generation, don't we? Everywhere we turn, we're more knowledgeable as a culture, as a generation, than any generations ever come before us. We are very knowledgeable, but are we wiser, seriously? I mean, look at all the issues. Look at all the problems. Look at all the unsolvable things that we're trying to deal with. Look at the broken down lives. Are we really that wise? Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom does not come from a higher IQ. Haven't you met people that have maybe a higher IQ and they're really not all that wise? We sort of think in Southern terms of book learning. They got a lot of book learning. But just watch their life. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not IQ. So what is it? Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to know what to do with what you know. And wisdom is that, what do you do with what you know? It's the ability to know God's mind and heart about life's questions and challenges. Wisdom does begin with knowledge, but it goes so far beyond it. And this is what God wants to bring into our lives. Now, I want to kind of take you back. There's Solomon. He is the author of at least the major chunk of the book of Proverbs. Not all of the book of Proverbs, but the major chunk of it. And he is the son of King David. And Solomon writes this part that he writes of the book of Proverbs as a gift to his children. It's really what this is. It's a gift to his children to help his children to be able to avoid some of the things that he had, mistakes he had made, and to be able to understand wisdom that God had given him. It was a gift to them to be able to live their life to their fullest. So listen to what the beginning, the opening is of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king. Written down so we would know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. Now stop for a moment. So few people, it seems, in the world has even that first line. To know how to live life, to know where life is going, how to live it well, how to live it right. He said, but I'm writing you this book so that you will know these things. It's a manual, he says, for living, for learning what is right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and to give our young a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women. So there is the reason. Here is the purpose of the entire book. So what is it so important about this whole issue of wisdom? Well, one of the things is that wisdom helps us to understand what genuinely is right and wrong. There was a time in American culture in which that was just understood in the culture. And the reason is because so much of the culture, even people that didn't go to church, were so influenced and touched by the Bible of what is right and what is wrong. And it was just understood across the whole society. The society before, it was so different in this country. But over the last 50 years, there was a new philosophy that began to emerge. Everyone has taught this in school, and it is placed at the highest value, and it's simply this. There is not some absolute right and wrong. Right is what you think it is. Wrong is what you think it is. And it almost sort of takes you back to the Garden of Eden and in Genesis chapter 3. You're God. You're your own God. Don't let anybody else tell you what is right. What is your right? What is your wrong? And all of that began to emerge in this country about 50 years ago, and you see the mess. I mean, you look at all the stuff that's going on with the harm of children and families falling apart and all this. This was not even here 50 years ago. It has absolutely been devastating to the culture. And it all started with this idea. I don't want somebody else to tell me what is right and wrong. I'll decide it myself. What happens in the book of Proverbs is that it helps us to find that line again, because it's become so foggy, so out of focus about what is it that's right and wrong. And it helps to sort of bring us back to focus of what really matters in life and what causes life to end up well or what causes life to not. It's part of what the book of Proverbs is about. But part of what the book of Proverbs is about is also the other decisions we make. Because most of the time, we make decisions not about right and wrong, but most of our decisions are about what is good or best. How do I know what is best? What the best decision is? I mean, really, I've got two or three or four decisions in front of me or options in front of me. Which one is the best? And this is where the book of Proverbs shines for us, helping us to understand better best from good. For instance, why do people make foolish financial decisions? I mean, look, I could have told you. Why did you do that? Why do people make foolish financial decisions? Or why do people walk into marriage with one outcome in mind, but they marry someone whose life is going exactly the opposite direction and somehow thinking it's going to be this way? I mean, it's doomed from the beginning. Why do people start habits that they know is going to eventually kill them? Why do people take more on their schedule than they already know they can do? And they're surprised at the outcome that the stress brings. Why does a person have an affair, an adulterous relationship, thinking, not going to hurt me, when it does more than hurt, it damages, even destroys? It's a wisdom issue. From beginning to end, the issues that end up being our unraveling turn out to be wisdom issues. And if we could have only understood what was right and just and fair. We need wisdom. It's one of the greatest things we would ever obtain. It would change our life. So the question is this then. If I start getting wisdom, how would I know? I mean, how will I know that I'm becoming wiser? There's actually two criteria that he gives to us in the book of Proverbs. He says, first of all, wisdom actually allows us to see from God's perspective. It changes how we even view things that we once viewed one way. We see ourselves beginning to view it a different way. Psalm 119, 130 says, the unfolding of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Actually, Solomon in Proverbs uses the word understanding so many times. That word that is translated understanding is actually a word that means to see below the surface. And if you think about it, we in this culture, with all the knowledge that we have a tendency to live life at the surface. Very shallow. I think one of the reasons is that we're bombarded with so much knowledge, so much information, that we have learned the art of skimming. You go to an article, how many articles do you actually read from beginning to end? You read the heading and you sort of skim it, boom, I know everything that person said. When probably we don't. But we have learned the art of skimming. And part of the reason is there's so much information. There's so much coming at us. We only have time to live life just so deep. And this is why so many people live such shallow lives, but wisdom takes us below the surface, helps us to begin to see life from a deeper perspective than maybe we're experiencing in our life, helps us to see how God sees life, helps us to get to the heart of issues that before we never even explored. It takes us deeper. When we begin to see ourselves going deeper, we begin to see ourselves understanding not just what, but why. Seeing life from a different perspective, from a deeper perspective, oh wow, you need to celebrate because you are moving into the realm of wisdom. There's a second. Wisdom gives us the ability to know best from good. I mentioned that a moment ago, so let me go back to the same concept. Proverbs chapter 2 this time, verse 6 and 9, and listen to what Solomon says. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And then, when you get this understanding, the below the surface, when you get to this place in which you began to really understand deeper than surface life, something happens. Then you will understand what is right, what is just, what is fair, every good path. He is saying something begins to happen to us. Don't we, in our questions about life and about making decisions, what is the right thing to do? What is the fair response to this situation? What is the just thing in this moment? We search for that so much, but Solomon says you'll find those things all through this book. And in fact, the more you begin to put this book in your heart, what is right, just, and fair will start coming out of your life. I mean, you'll even be surprised. What you just know the answer. You know, you begin to discern what is best. And when that begins to happen to you, hey, yay God, you are becoming wise. I mean, what difference would this make in your family if you and every member of your family were beginning to be wiser? So how does the book work? Well, we're not going to go through the book chapter by chapter. There's 31 chapters. We're not going to go chapter by chapter because it was never designed to be studied that way. It was really designed to be studied topic by topic. And that's how we're going to do it. Name the topic in your life. Relationships, schedule, money, marriage, parenting, relating to your parents. You name the topic and it's addressed in the book. And what he does is he gives us principles for what is the best choice. What is the wiser way to respond to this moment? And so over the next several weeks, that's exactly how we're going to be addressing the book. Looking at some of the great important aspects of our life and what's the best choice. So Solomon's goal is to teach us wisdom. And here is the question, because it's the title of today. How do I get wiser faster? I mean, there is some value to the idea that the older I get, the wiser I am. But there's some value to that idea. Because look, I only have to put my hand in the fire one time, and I know I'm not doing that again. But most of that wisdom that comes through living through age is trial and error, and usually it comes more from error than not. But do you really have to live that way, having to go through all the pain every time? And by the way, I've met people getting older that didn't seem a lot wiser. So it's not automatic. But isn't there an easier way to learn wisdom? Isn't there a less painful way to learn wisdom? Can you be wise beyond your years? And here is the truth. Every last person in this room can be wise beyond our years. And that was the purpose of the book. So how is it that we gain wisdom? How do we get wiser faster? Well, the first solution or the first answer that Solomon would give to us if he was standing right here in my place, he would say, read the Bible. This would be his first response, read the Bible. In fact, listen to what he says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. It's God that is actually giving you the wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's called the Word of God for a reason. Let God speak his word into your heart because he is actually speaking wisdom into your life. In fact, five times in chapter 2 of Proverbs, Solomon says, if you will just read my book, you'll get wiser. So here's my question. Why don't we do that? Why don't we read the book? In other words, why wait until I get up on this platform and the next Sunday comes? Why wait? Why don't we individually begin in our own lives to gain wisdom every day of our life, especially over the course of this series? I'm challenging you to begin reading the book of Proverbs. One chapter a day, and align it on the day of the month. Because there's 31 chapters, so align it on the day of the month. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about today is the 10th. If you start today, read chapter 10. Wait a minute, what about 1 to 9? Well, these chapters don't build on themselves, so there's nothing lost. You'll be back to 1 to 9 in February and then in March. This series is going to last a little over 2 months, so, hey, we can read through the book of Proverbs at least twice. And as you're reading, say you begin today and you read chapter 10 today, as you're reading, maybe in the margin of your Bible or somewhere else, write down, of all the things I just read, here is the thing I needed the most. This is the verse. This is the truth. This is what really struck home at me, and write it down. And every day, you are identifying maybe one of the verses or one of the topics that he addresses in the chapter. Okay, he really hit my issue. And every day you're asking God, God, this area of wisdom, I need this in my life. And I'm willing for you to build this area in my life today. Every day, every day. I want to challenge those who are leading Bible fellowship groups, whatever age that might be. What if you did this? What if in your Bible fellowship group, starting next Sunday, you challenged every person in your class? Hey, let's do this individually. Then maybe the first 5 minutes of the group, I'm not talking about the whole hour, but I'm talking about just the beginning. Maybe let people share, well, this was the thing I learned this week that, oh, I this really meant the most for me. What I'm talking about is an interactive series where it's not just me up here, but it's us allowing God to begin to do what Solomon said, read my book and you will get wiser. Maybe even as a family, maybe reading it individually and maybe coming together as a family and saying, well, okay, what did you learn? What did you learn? And let it be maybe a family devotional time. I want to challenge us to do this and see what would happen to us. Solomon says, here's what will happen. You'll get wiser. So let's do this during the week before we come back together again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says this, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve from them. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There are many in this room that were not even born when this happened, but in 1985, there was a guy named Terry Anderson who was in Lebanon. He was a journalist and a reporter, and he was reporting on a particular situation, and some Muslim terrorists captured him and imprisoned him for 7 years. He hadn't committed any crime. He was just reporting on a story, and for 7 years, he lost his freedom. But during those 7 years, something incredible happened to him. And when he was freed in 1992, he made this statement. He says, I asked for a Bible, and amazingly, they gave me a Bible. And he said, over the course of 7 years, he said, I've been a Christian for many years in my life, but I have not read much of the Bible in my life. And I just am sad to admit it, but it's true. But he said, over the course of the 7 years I was incarcerated, I read the Bible more from beginning to end more than 50 times. And he said, I was stunned at its power and the impact of the Bible on my life. I had no idea. So I want to ask, would you be open to letting God use his Bible, his word, to begin to impact your life? And I'm thinking in two different ways. The first way is through the Proverbs plan that I just talked about. To sign up, to say, I'm going to be a part of the Proverbs plan, and I'm going to let God begin to, just one chapter a day, open my eyes to wisdom about how I live my life, maybe enhancing my life, living my life differently, and I'm open. God, I'm willing to do it. To do the Proverbs plan. The second thing, for those in the room say, look, I can go beyond that. And I want to challenge you to do it. I want to challenge you in the next 6 months to read through the entire New Testament from beginning to end. Did you know that to read through the entire New Testament in 6 months is only like one chapter to two chapters? That's all it is. Did you know that a study, our survey was done, and it discovered that 75% of Christians said in the study that they had not one time in their life ever read through the New Testament from beginning to end. Man, don't let that be you. I want to challenge you. Kathy and I are going to read through the New Testament all the way from beginning to end. We kind of sneaked ahead. We've already started. But from starting the 10th, starting today or tomorrow, if you want to start in the morning, starting now all the way to July, how about just 1 to 2 chapters every day? Yeah, I challenged my 91-year-old dad, and he's already doing it, and he's already way ahead. I just can't hold him back. But he's doing it. We're going to do it. And we want to ask you, would you do it with us, to read through the New Testament, 1 or 2 chapters? You say, well, boy, but that's a lot. And here's what I want to recommend. Let's say that on the way to work or on the way home from work or during some mundane thing that you're doing at your house, how about listening to the Bible? I mean, you can listen to the Bible. I put in your notes a smartphone app called Bible.is, and it will, is it Bible.il? IL. Oh, IS. Bible.is. Here we go. Bible.is. Your smartphone, you just go get that app and you can download it. Or you can go on the website. I've given you the website for that too. And you can just listen to the Bible. Did you know that, quite honestly, the Bible was written not as much to read but to hear? That's what they did in that day. They didn't have copies, so they would listen to the Bible being read. You will get a great deal out of listening to the Bible that maybe you wouldn't have gotten when you read it. You should do both, maybe, but this is one way that you could approach this. You can listen to 1 or 2 chapters for sure every day. And I'm going to encourage you, let's do it. Let's read through or listen through the New Testament over the next 6 months. And what's going to happen is that as we're hearing God's word, it's beginning to come inside of us. It begins to change us. There's a second thing that Solomon would say to us. He would say to us, now, okay, don't just read the Bible, but then do what the Bible says. That's what he would say. Proverbs 7, verse 1 and 2 says this, never forget what I tell you to do. Do what I say, and you will live. Be careful to follow it. You see that word live at the beginning of verse 2, do what I say, you will live. That word live doesn't necessarily mean live versus die as much as it means live versus live, really live. If you really want to enhance your life, if you really want to take your life up a notch, instead of just reading or listening to the Bible, actually do it. It will change who you are. This is the whole idea of James chapter 1, verse 22, when he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. So here's what my recommendation is to you. Every day, as you either hear the Bible or you read the Bible as we go through this time, find something as you're going through, God, this is an area that needs to change in my life. This is a command I need to obey. This is a part of you I didn't understand before. I'm so grateful to know this. And do what God tells you to do. Here's the last thing Solomon say to us. Solomon would say to us, and the third is, get to know God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not just reading the Bible, not just doing what it says, but also getting to know God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word fear. In 1 John that we were in, we went through 1 John in the fall, we heard John say this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. John is using the same word that Solomon's using, but a totally different idea. First John is saying God never intended for you to be scared to death of God. And I make this point because I want to make sure we grab it today. God never wanted a relationship with you. You've come to know Christ as Savior. He doesn't want you to live scared to death of Him. Sometimes religion does that, to sort of get us to do what somebody wants us to do. They try to help make us always be scared of God. But God says, I don't even want that kind of relationship with you. I want a relationship of love, a kind of relationship that drives out fear, not puts fear in. I want a loving relationship with you. But now here is Solomon saying, but if you're going to have wisdom, you got to fear God. Solomon is, in the Hebrew, using a word that means something very different. In the Hebrew, the word to fear God means to be in awe of God, to reverence God. The idea of reverencing God means that it matters to me what God thinks. It matters to me what God says. Not because I'm scared to death of Him, but because I love Him. God, I want to please you. I have a fear of God, a reverence and awe of you. And Solomon says this to us, if we will approach God's word with a sense of, God, I care what you say. I care what you think. And now I will hear you and I will do what you say. Solomon says to us, our whole life will change. The beginning of our relationship with God is coming to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And I wonder in this room, maybe you're religious or maybe you're just a great person, you're a good person. Nobody would say to the contrary. Maybe you've done all kinds of religious things, but the Bible actually never says that being a good person or a great person or doing religious things actually brings us into a relationship with God. The Bible actually says that how we come into a relationship with God is that we recognize our need for Christ and we turn from our sin of rejection of Him and rebellion against Him, and we, by faith, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And my question to you this morning is, have you done that? I know you're a good person. I know you've done good things. But have you truly come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? That's where it begins. So let's get first things first. Would you start there? And maybe today, this is the day of coming to know Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. And I thank you, Father, for what you want to do in and through our life. And God, there is a want to in us. There is a desire to get after it, to grow in wisdom, to make better decisions, to get the most out of life. And God, the first thing that has to happen is we've got to come to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And I pray for many in this room who have not yet made that decision. But, oh, God, you're pulling them in that direction. The want to is coming from you. Move in hearts today. May people make that decision in this room today. I want Jesus as my Savior, and I commit my life to Him. And, Father, there are people in this room that know Christ, have accepted Christ as Savior. They're visiting Sugar Creek, and there's a sense in your heart, in their heart, this is where I belong. And God, I believe that you do that in us to sort of draw us, give us direction about what church that we're to be associated with. And God, there's so many great churches, but maybe this is their church. And I pray, Father, you'd move in hearts today to say, I'm going to make this official. I'm joining this church. I want to be a part of this fellowship. So God, move in hearts today to do as you are moving, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.